and release it to God and allow God to handle that problem and meet the need. And the scripture says, and the peace that surpasses, goes beyond human understanding.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies, again, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about an issue that I believe is relevant. And every morning we wake up, every 24 hours, I believe it's more relevant because of what we're faced with in our nation. Some are sitting back saying nothing. Some are sitting back doing nothing. Multitudes of Christians did not vote in 2016. Multitudes didn't vote in 2020. Multitudes of Christians did not even vote in 2024. But God has divinely intervened, placed into office a man that I believe is focused on America more than any other president in my lifetime. Now, I'm not saying he walks on water, not saying he's perfect, but I'm saying I believe he is the man for the era in which we're living in, and I believe we need to recognize the dangers that are looming before us. Let me just read you my notes from a video that I just watched from an former Islamic jihadist. He says, Islamics accuse us of Islamophobia. They get laws passed to stop the focus on truth. Islam is the enemy of the West. This former Islamic said, as he described the faults, that it is a false way. Islam is not a religion, but a political system. Islam would have us believe that jihad is simply a struggle from within. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about jihad directly from the Noble Quran in just a moment. He says, look at Islam's bloody history for 1,400 years, marked by beheadings, war to force submission to Islam. Islam has destroyed every city, every state that it enters. It occupies it by enslavement and slaughter. He says, and I quote, 86 million in India alone over the centuries have been slaughtered to forced to convert to Islam. The past 1,400 years, perhaps 380 million people were slaughtered over this period of time by the Islamic jihadists. Today, Islam focuses on and continues its enslavement to force conversion to Islam and enslavement to a system of slavery. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it better, but that was a quote from a former Islamic that's now trying to warn America of the dangers of Islam. I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I believe in my heart that this mayor in New York City, how he got elected, I don't know. But I also feel that when they put Kali, the goddess Kali, on the Empire State Building, when they bombed the, flew their planes into the Twin Towers, and the hurt that has happened to New York City, it is a disgrace. It is a disgrace. And I thank God that he put Trump in the White House, an American who believes in America. And I pray that some of our black voters stop being Democrats and help this man save America.
Amen.
Through the grace of God.
Amen. Terry, you're exactly right. One of the things that I say, that we need to stop looking at the tonation of the skin, recognize the danger looming before us for the conservatives, the Christians, the patriots, and for all Americans. And unless we stand together, regardless of race, creed, or color, lest we stand together, we're going to lose our constitutional republic. And then what will take place, we'll have total slavery for everybody, because when you look at the socialist, Marxist, communist dictator group that's pushing now to be elected and take control, every one of us will become slaves to the system, and yet they are, how would you say, mindless enough, dumb enough, ignorant enough to believe that if you bring in Marxism, socialism, communism, that everybody be happy. Communism has never been successful on the face of the globe, anytime, any place over the centuries of the known world. And yet there's the mindset that it can be made to work today. And you ask the question about Mandami, how did he get elected? His primary, 72% of the primary voters that put him in a position to be elected, was out of the harebrained, ignoramus, idiot, useful idiots that were the millennial white women, single, generally speaking, with credentials from prestigious universities that have been taught that socialism, Marxism, and communism is wonderful. They've been taught that by the communist professors in this, the places, the bastions of higher education, and it's destroyed their mind, and as Rush Limbaugh used to call it, they've just got minds of mush today, and that's what put him in office. And right now, Christians and Jewish people are wondering what to do. Many of them, multitudes, leaving the city of New York because of the danger that's looming ahead. So it deserves our prayer, but at the same time, Terry, it demands that we do something and stop being silent. Stop being silent for Christians. Stop being silent for conservatives and patriots. Stop being silent regardless of whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. There's the mindset today that we need to recognize we will lose our constitutional republic in the next 120 days unless Christians and conservatives vote. Stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen at the ballot box. Terry, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up.
God bless you.
I believe we have Marshall on the line. Marshall, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Pastor. Terry has put her finger on something that's extremely important. And I want to ask you, let's just arrange with the station for about another 4 hours so we can talk about the door that she has opened. Your comment or your commentary this morning is on persecution. And I began to relate to it greatly as I thought back on my Air Force career. There was one period of time just after I had a tremendous revitalization in my life at Altus Air Force Base in March of 1977 that changed the vector of our life. I became a real husband and father and better military officer as a result of an improved understanding I had. I was already a believer. I was effective in what I did, but it all came together in March of 1977. What's interesting is I was training in an airplane that no one else had been trained to go into from another aircraft. It was a select unit of people who had been doing the same thing for about 10-year life of this particular airplane at that time, and no one else had ever gone in and entered that squadron. It was a closed system. And because it was a closed system, it was ruled by some very evil leaders. Two full colonels and a lieutenant colonel that were running that organization for themselves. Now, the perception was I'd been put into the unit to paddle on the rumors, which was not the case. I wanted to fly this particular airplane against all odds, a little program that I found that a general was working. I fit it, and they put me in there. Now, when I came in there, I became persona non grata. I was a Christian. There were very, very few in there. In fact, there was only one other one that was a professing open believer, and then another very mature and decent LDS, Mormon lieutenant colonel that actually looked out for me during the time there. But I was persona non grata because I told the senior enlisted people, and they rule the Air Force, which I'm talking E-7s, E-8s, and E-9s, flying sideways as flight engineers, they were the ones that kind of dictated what went. And they were used to having their way. So when they had an officer come on board who enforced the regulations that were in writing before we went and flew an airplane and signed that we had read it, I reaped a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. Now, God sustained me in what should have been an unsustainable situation. He put us in the best Southern Baptist church we've ever been in under a wise pastor who taught us those things I talked about in the beginning, how to be a husband, how to be a father, how to live the Christian life, how to be an effective member of your church. And so the net result of the most horrible, the most miserable time in my life when I was under continuous professional jeopardy and when I was always put in bad circumstances nobody else wanted because, well, let's get Woody, you know, he's a believer, he'll like that. It was a tough time. But God put me in this persecution after that miraculous event in March of 77 and sustained me through the persecution. They didn't wipe me out as they wanted to do professionally. I had a person on board there that looked out for me. But the better thing is that 3 years we spent in this particular church in Vacaville, California, changed the vector of the rest of our life. Now, here's the last thing I want to say. Persecution is inevitable. What you've said is absolutely correct. It's coming like a maelstrom. And forgive me if I have the wrong person from history, but I think Louis XIV, Louis XIV said, "Après moi la déluge," after me, the flood. And I believe that applies to Donald Trump.
Yes.
We have right now a man protecting us as that one particular man in particular protected me at that evil squadron out in California. He looked out for me. And once Mr. Trump goes away, we can expect the floodgates to open, and we're going to see that hatred aimed at who? Christians, those who are proactive believers and are doing what the Lord said. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Those are the ones that become the victims, like those people in the Congo that you talked about this morning. I can't believe that our own government doesn't intervene
yes.
on that. Do you have time for one further comment?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. This goes back to what Terry said, talking about New York. New York is the very symbol of global economy. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
What do you do? Okay. That's the financial center of the world, or has been at some point. And New York is now governed, and I think this is God has allowed this to happen to warn us mm-hmm. by an Islamist who has taken over the city of New York and appears to be impervious to any pushback. He has demonic power, it appears to me. And when Terry talked about the projection of Kali on the Empire State Building a number of years ago, because my blood boiled when I saw that happen, we open the door for Satan to come in and do what he's doing. God permits these things, but it's because of our sin. And so when the goddess Kali, the destroyer, was projected so clearly and evilly on the Empire State Building, it absolutely made me physically sick. But New York is going to get its due. The love of money is the root of all evil. What greater display do we need before the American eyes, because we tend to be money-oriented people, than the great financial city of the world and of our country is ruled by an Islamist, as you have said in oodles of your books. Islam is the religion of the Antichrist. It's coming like a freight train. And after Mr. Trump, après moi, la déluge is coming.
You're exactly right. One of the things that I'll close with before I let you go, I'm looking at a headline. Between the Declaration and Communist Manifesto, only one will prevail. Somehow, some way, I believe there's a mindset that, okay, we could have the communists intermingle with the conservatives and the patriots and the constitutional republic, and everything will still be all right. They are totally exclusive. They will not amalgamate, cannot be brought together and survive. One will survive. Both cannot survive. So also with the Islamic jihadist. Either the Islamic jihadist will survive and rule, or we'll still have a constitutional republic. Therefore, it is imperative that Christians speak up and stop being silent. We need to be in that ballot box. Every Christian needs to prepare now, vet the candidates, know what the candidates stand for, and vote for the one that's going to be most rightly aligned with God's Word. Not have to be a Christian, but rightly aligned with the Word of God. Marshall, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We have the, what's called, listen, most are not aware of this. We have the Communist Party actively involved in the United States of America, has been for the past almost 100 years, and it's been kind of quiet and silent and doing its own thing, but now it's rearing its head. It's called the Democratic Socialist of America, and I'm looking at their recent, they had an executive meeting. They made a decision on the major planks, if you please, of what they're going to do. Let me just read briefly and take our next caller after that. It says, earlier this month, the Democratic Socialist of America's top leadership met for an in-person meeting of their National Political Committee. The results of the meeting was, workers deserve more, end quote. This is the list. Abolishing the forces of capital state, defunding the Department of War, amnesty for all immigrants, replacing the President and the Supreme Court with an executive and judiciary chosen by and subordinate to Congress. Workers need more. A provision explicitly naming Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine. Workers deserve more. Has revolutionary aspirations. Its aim is to win the battle for democracy, draw a new constitution, create a new democratic socialist republic. The document makes clear that achieving these visions would require building a totally new society from the ground up, accompanied by sweeping structural changes. And it goes on to talk about abolishing the Electoral College, along with the establishment of public ownership of the largest corporations, essential industries to ensure democratic control and accountability, and strict regulations on investment properties. Defund the Department of War, close overseas bases, end all economic sanctions, and would include those in the states like Iran, Cuba, and Russia. The platform further endorses universal amnesty for all illegals, ending restrictions on marriage, which would presumably entail legalization of polygamy and prostitution, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what we're faced with at this moment in America? Our pulpits need to be active in warning America, warning the congregation, warning us of the dangers ahead, warning of where we're going if we do not actively get involved with the election coming up in about 120 days. I believe Jim's on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you. Every single one of those items that you just read off leads to complete disaster in any capitalist system there. If there's no motivation for having benefits or enjoying the fruit of your labor, there's no motivation to work any harder than is necessary. All of those would lead to a complete and utter collapse of the United States as
yes.
we know it.
Yes.
If I read the same article, I think that you're referring to communism versus Islam, and basically each side will use the other to attain its goals, but in the end, the question is which side will be brutal enough to win out overall? anybody that knows history there or is, has the capability of reading should know that communism is a pretty brutal system there. If you're curious as to what a communist will do to society, there's a man named Alexander Solzhenitsyn who wrote the Gulag Archipelago, and he chronicles Marxism from the 20s onwards and the rise of Stalin and how brutal that communist dictator was to his very own citizens and how many people they jailed. Anybody that says that that cannot occur in the United States, I would encourage them to look up a Joe Biden speech shortly after he was inaugurated. It was the most shocking thing I'd ever heard a president say. He literally said on national television to every single man, woman, and child, I am sick and tired of this. You will be vaccinated. When any leader starts using directives that you will or I dictate or I have said, so let it be done, at that point they are a tyrant. And tyrants will do and say and commit any act, all in the justification of they know what's best for you. And these people are relentless. If you think that we can't turn into a state very similar to a 1930s Germany, you're sadly mistaken.
Well, Jim, we're on the fast track for that. And there's a dual enemy now. And, of course, it's all coming out of Satan. It's a demonic battle. And the question is, will we win the battle or lose the battle? And Christians, as salt and light, will be the only thing that will make the difference. But there's the dual battle, and that is with Socialist, Marxist, Communist, BLM, Democratic Party, that is now totally gone away from its roots of Democratic Party, as in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, et cetera, et cetera, even with Jack Kennedy. No such thing as the Democratic Party of old. It was bad enough, but it's no such thing today. It's the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party, and that linked with the Islamic Jihadists. It is an amazing thing to me to witness those two elements, those two enemies, striving together to overthrow the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America. But one of the things that's taking place, Jim, is the term jihad. One of the imams just said that they're going to use what they call now ballot box jihad. Ballot box jihad. Now, for those that are listening, Jim, that do not understand the term jihad, there are a lot of people today that will mantra what has been said by the Western printing, the Western publication of the Quran. If you've got a Quran and you picked it up at the local bookstore, it's not worth 10 cents. It is the Western publication of the Quran that polishes everything that Islam says or does. It is designed to fool the American citizen. You have to have the noble Quran with the blue seals in the front of it from Medina that authorizes the words in the Quran. And the Quran is very, very clear as to what is really the term jihad. I'm going to read, Jim, and get your take on it. I'm looking at my noble Quran. It is highly marked up because I've had opportunity to spend hundreds of hours in the research and the study. And in the Quran, Surah, we call them chapters, they call them Surah, Surah 90, and fight in the way of Allah. Those who fight but transgress not the limits. Truly, Allah likes not the transgressor. This verse is the first one that was revealed in connection with jihad, but it was supplemented by another, and that's in Surah 936. But the footnote, this is a noble Quran. It is that we'd have a study Bible, let's say in America, with a Bible. You have the footnotes written by some scholar. That's the study Bible. Well, this is a study Quran. The footnote says, jihad, holy fighting in Allah's cause, with the full force of numbers of weapons, is given the utmost importance in all of Islam and is one of the pillars on which Islam stands. By jihad, Islam is established. Allah's word is made superior. And the further states here, and this is by the Islamic scholars, Islam's jihad is obligatory. It is the duty of Islam for every Muslim. And to he who tries to escape from this duty or does not in his innermost heart wish to fulfill this duty dies as one that's qualified to be a hypocrite. To participate in jihad is to honor Allah and Allah's cause. And Jim, I'm looking at several artists. I was just curious to see what AI. I was curious to see what AI would say about jihad. And it says here, the Arabic word jihad literally means a struggle, striving, or exerting efforts. Islamic teachings is the broader meaning of has a broader meaning and not just warfare. The personal spiritual struggle, often called greater jihad, this refers to struggle to become a better person by resisting temptation, controlling anger or hostility, etc. Jim, jihad is being practiced today, and they have jihad where they use the sword. They have jihad that they've used for 1400 years and trying to dominate all of the globe, and now they're saying we're using ballot box jihad. Tell me your thoughts on publicly their statement that this is a jihad, this is a holy war, and we're going to take America by the ballot box. We've got just a moment. Tell us what your thoughts are, Jim.
Well, I'd like to start out by saying that I am the infidel that Allah warned them about, so I'll leave that one out there.
Yeah.
The second thing that I would like to say is the AI version is the Tiqwa version. That's an absolute lie. You had the correct holy war. That's the official version. Jihad is practiced financially by outpopulating, by outvoting, by outkilling, by outlying, and every other low-down, dirty, rotten trick they can pull out of the bottom of the barrel to achieve their goals and their dominance and supremacy. So it's not a religion, it's a cult, and political.
It's not a religion, it's a cult, and it's a political system, a way of life mandated. And the word Islam simply means to submit, and Islam's goal is for every human being to submit to Islam and to Allah and to what the Quran says. Jim, when I say that we need to stop being silent, we've got about 20 seconds. What do you say to the general listener today about speaking up, doing something as Christian conservatives and patriots? What should we do?
Well, first and foremost is educate yourself. Do not be deceived, because many in these last days will be deceived. Second, vote. Definitely vote. Use your Bible, use your discernment, ask God for wisdom and discernment. He will guide you. His Son
Amen.
Is there and available.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.